Welcome to Blind Cool Tech, show number 4. It's June 8th, 2005. A beautiful Wednesday afternoon. We're going to do something a little different today. We're going to take a walk with a guide dog. My guide dog, in fact, named Jake. He's a 3-year-old dog that's half lab and half golden retriever. I've had him about a year now. And we'll go ahead and... We're in my office right now at APH. And I'm going to shut my computer down. And tap my leg and Jake comes. Well, if I can wake him up. Come on, little buddy. You ready to come? Y'all have a good one. Let's see, let me get shut down properly here. Got a couple of unsaved files. Alright. So, with the guide dog, you have a leash and a harness. And when you pick up the harness, he gets ready to go to work, and you put the leash in the left hand. With the harness, you hold the harness with the left hand and then hold the leash with a couple of fingers, and give Jake the signal to go, which is a hand signal and a command sometimes. We'll see you good fellows tomorrow. You too. And we're in some offices above the plant here, so we're going to walk over to the stairwell, and Jake stops at the door, points his nose toward the knob, opens the stairwell door, he pauses at the steps, good boy, give him the signal to go forward, and he pauses at the next landing, give him the signal, and away we go. Of course, he stops at this open door. Now generally, good boy, we're out in the plant now. Generally a dog will keep going straight, unless you tell him otherwise. But Jake's going to take a right here, because this is the way we always go. Hey! There's another dog. And they didn't really pay much attention to each other at all, which is what you want. We're walking down a big hall through the plant here now. Jake's looking around. Got his tail straight in the air. And now we're in the display room. And Jake just passed somebody coming out into the main lobby here.
Well,
hey,
you're right in time. Everybody's
what's
leaving.
Going on? Yeah, you're heading the wrong way. Jake's, oh, thank you. It's warm out here. Good boy, little buddy. Forward. Jake just stopped at the top of the steps. And there's a long walkway here. And then another set of steps. And then we get out to the main street, which is Frankfort Avenue. Good boy, little buddy. Stopped at the stairs and I give him the signal to go down. Good boy. and we take a left at the end of the sidewalk. Again, I don't have to tell Jake anything because this is the way we always go. If I had wanted to go right, I would have said his name to get his attention, like, Jake, right, and then given a hand signal to do that. And the way the hand signals work is that you, actually your walking position, both your arms are pretty much straight down beside you, but when you give a hand signal, you use your right hand and bend like from your elbow forward out to about a 45 degree angle so he can see it. And then if you're turning right, you put your palm towards him and motion to the right. Or if you're going left, you put your palm out, motion to the left. Or if you want to go straight, you just motion forward. Now the dog walks about a half a step in front of you. Hello. So that way, when he goes to either step up or step down, he takes the step first, and that gives you your signal. All right, we're crossing the driveway at the Kentucky School for the Blind now. You can hear the traffic out on Frankfort Avenue. The Kentucky School for the Blind and APH, American Printing House for the Blind, pretty much take up the whole block here. Both two large institutions. We're coming up to a street called Haldeman Avenue. And the light just changed. So we can go ahead and go. Coming up to the street, you hear the signal there, the good boy, buddy. He paused and I gave him the signal to go. The dog pauses and kind of looks back at you. We're across and you can hear the other signal. These are some audible signals. That's a locator beep that actually gets louder as the ambient noise raises. And we'll be crossing Frankfort Avenue here in about two blocks with one of these audible signals. I'll describe it a little more to you at that time. So a dog works on praise. A lot of people might think that you reward them with food or treats, but their biggest reward is to please the owner, the handler, as they call them. Jake is actually my fifth dog. I've gotten all of mine from the Seeing Eye in Morristown, New Jersey. And he's a, like all five of them, he is an excellent one. Super good worker. And, walking along at a good little pace here. Jake looks around, got his tail straight in the air. Good boy. Paused and we're crossing a street called. Good boy. We're up on the other side. Street called Coral. It's kind of hazy today. It could be a lot hotter. The weather just got hot here this week. Just in one day. And you might be able to hear this next signal up here. The locator beep for it. This is at a street called Bel Air, and we're going to actually take a right and cross Frankfort. Jake pulls in next to the signal. Good boy. I'm going to press the signal, and you'll hear when I press it, it's going to make a noise. I'll press it right now, so that's your indication that it took. And you probably noticed when those cars went by the...
Walk sign, Frankfort Avenue.
Good boy, Fogren. Locator beep got louder. And you get verbal confirmation.
Frankfort Avenue.
That's the one on the other side of the street here. We're across. So these signals actually have an embossed arrow on them that points to which way you're supposed to cross. And it also vibrates, which comes in handy. Well, if you're deaf blind, it would be very handy, but also when it's noisy outside or there's a train going by, you can't hear the signal. So we're walking on the right side of Frankfort Avenue right now, heading east. And there's little shops along Frankfort Avenue here, restaurants and art galleries. Little pottery shop up here, catering, those kind of things. Very nice street to walk down. There's almost anything you want you can walk to in this neighborhood. This is an old neighborhood. Around the turn of the century. I'm talking about the 1900 century. Jake walks along at a good pace. I think it might be just a little bit hot for him. There's a bar up here on the right. We're going to cross some railroad tracks here in a minute. The tracks run parallel to Frankfort, then cross, and then run parallel on the other side. And there's a bus there stopping for the tracks. Crossing them, and we're going to get off the sidewalk here a minute and let Jake do his doggy thing. We stop here every day and let him relieve himself. So we're in a neighborhood in Louisville called the Clifton neighborhood. Now, when I let Jake stop, I take his harness off, and that gives him his signal that he's free to relax. I actually usually keep his harness on during the day, because we get up a lot and down to go to meetings. All right, he's through. Put this harness back on, and we're back on. We'll get back on the sidewalk. Head to the right. Good boy, little buddy. And we're pauses. Good boy. Give him the signal to cross this street. It's a new old main, I think is the name of it. And we're across. Good boy. And again, there's little shops to the left and the right. Restaurants on the left. A brass polishing shop. Pawn shop on the right, a little coffee shop. And the traffic is pretty light today. Jake enjoys his walks to and from work. It's important to be able to walk a guide dog almost on a daily basis. Kind of keeps them tuned up, and they really enjoy it. You got the traffic? Good boy. This is a street we're crossing called Clifton Street. And we're across. Good boy. Now, at least at the Seeing Eye School, when they train these dogs, they actually pause before they get out of the street. They'll put their front feet on the curb. And then ask, you know, wait for you to give them the confirmation to go on. But that's mainly as a precaution not to trip on the curb. And I usually train my dog just to go on, to step up on the curb and keep going. And I know, you know, I feel them step up, so that's my signal to step up onto the curb. It takes about 3 or 4 months of intense training at the school to teach a dog to do guide work, and then, of course, we're going straight, little buddy. He wanted to turn into a good boy. We're crossing the street. Rostetter is the name of it. And we're across. He wanted to turn into a place called Clifton's Pizza that we often stop at. I think he just wants to get out of this heat, probably. The dog will often point out places that you've been, even as few as one time. They'll make a little pause there and look toward it, kind of look back at you, and either give them a signal to go there or to continue on. So anyway, after they get through with this, after they get through with this 3 or 4 month intense training at the school, a student like me comes and trains with them for another month, at least on the first dog. Is 3 weeks on subsequent dogs. And before they go to the school, they are actually raised by a family who's as a member. Good boy, Ford. We're crossing a street called Jane. And good boy, we're at the street. Who has a member that's in the, who has a family member that's in the 4-H Club. And this is a project with the 4-H Club. I need to stop and tie my shoe. Okay. And they raise them from, I think it's about 8 weeks till 12 or 14 months. I know it's hard for them to give that dog up at the end of that time. But the school brings them out another puppy to raise. And what the 4-H Club member does is to socialize the dog. So they'll take them to school or work with them, teach them the basic obedience commands. And that way the dog isn't raised in a kennel and picks up bad doggy habits. Sometimes I believe these dogs actually think they're humans. They see another dog and it's like, what is that funny creature? Good boy, Thorn. Crossing a street named Keats. Good boy. And we're over. Right there, Jake. There's ramps on a lot of these streets, and he put his nose down there to show me that there was a curb and kind of twisted his body, and then we went up to the ramp. So he was giving me room to get up the ramp there. They have little signals like that. Every dog is different too. I had the hardest time. You take a different dog on the same route now. They'll treat situations differently. But you have to learn to follow the dog and trust the dog. Lisa! So this 4-H club member also sends a puppy profile to the new prospective student, or to the school when they give it to the student. It tells about interesting things when they were growing up. Like, I remember with Jake, and they said he liked ice and classical music, and he was real polite to another little dog that lived in the house. All right, we're at another crossing here. I'm gonna push the button. This is a street called Ewing. It's a fairly busy street. Good boy, Thorn. So we're crossing. And we're across, and you can hear the locator beep on the other side there. Now we're in the Crescent Hill neighborhood. A lot of cities have broken up into neighborhoods. These are both real nice old neighborhoods, sidewalks everywhere. I love it. There's a laundromat, realtor shop, a church, a funeral home here on the right. There was a Walgreens drugstore right before we crossed Ewing there on the right. Now on the left here, the tracks get closer to Frankfort Avenue, so there's no buildings on the left until on the other side of the tracks. So there's nothing really that faces Frankfort Avenue on the left side. So the way it works at the school, when you first get there, you fill out a survey and get medical tests and so forth to make sure you can handle the rigors of a dog. And then when you first get there, the instructors will take you for a walk and act as if they're the dog, and they'll hold the harness just to get your idea, their ideas about your pace, how hard you like the dog to pull. And you'll do that the first day and the second day. And then the third day you're there, you usually arrive on Saturday, and then, good boy, Thorn. We're crossing a street called Peterson. And we're across, good boy. And then Monday you get the dog. And that's always a momentous day at the Seeing Eye. You start actually walking around the house just with the dog on leash, and it takes a couple of days before they pair you up enough and get used to each other enough that you actually can use the dog while you're walking around. And I hadn't been to any other school. I suspect they're similar to that. This is quite a large place too. It's dormitories on one end and a large hallway with offices on the other end. I mean, in the middle, and then a cafeteria, dining room, and a lounge at the other end of the building. Every day, when you're in training, each instructor probably has 4 to 6 students. I think they're trying to reduce the number of students per instructor, but each day you take 2 trips into town, to Morristown in this case. And you have routes that you go down. Good boy. Forward. Crossing a street called Galt. And we're across. Good boy. Yeah, Jake's going to need some water when he gets home today. Pretty much when, you know, on this route that we walk every day, I don't have to give him any direction except to signal when I want to cross the street. He pauses at each street. And they're trained to stop at each street or to stop on step ups and step downs. One of the most interesting things, too, that they're trained about is overhead clearance. And when you're a tall guy like me, that's pretty important. There's a lot of trees that we're crossing. Good boy. That's it, little buddy. We're crossing Frank Avenue. Not to be confused with Frankfurt. And some dogs are better at the overheads than others. That's one of the hardest things for them to do, too. The idea is that you want to, the dog wants to think of you as a part of him, so he naturally gives you clearance on the right and above. And it takes a little while to get them tuned into that. You can tell, though, they really just want to, please. They love to do the right thing and hear that, good boy. Because Jake is a good boy, huh, little buddy? And we're passing little coffee shops, another pizza place, wine shop. Good boy, folks. That's it. Crossing height. Good boy, we're across.
You know what? There's a caution, can't walk through here sign.
Oh, is that right?
Just because the transformer is about to it was leaking here, so we have to walk around my car.
Okay.
Here comes the fireman. I think he'll take you around.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there like tape on the sidewalk or something?
There's tape on the sidewalk.
Okay, I think we can probably get around it. Thank you.
Yeah.
How about...
Does he know how to take you?
Yeah, I think so. We'll see. You a fireman?
Yeah. There you go.
Come on, Jake. Right. Right. How about? Good boy. Right. Right. Right.
You can take it right here and get back on the saddle.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Mighty hot one out here today, isn't it? Good boy.
Sorry.
Excuse me. Lady walking her dog there. We're going through some tables here in front of the coffee shop. Good boy. So, yeah, that was an excellent example of... Even if that lady hadn't told me that there was a sidewalk was blocked off. Good boy. Forward. We're crossing a street called Bailey with a light. We're across. Good boy. Jake would have came, if she hadn't have told me, Jake would have came up to that tape crossing the sidewalk and hopefully either showed it to me or then just gone out into the street. Stays really close to the right. And then back onto the sidewalk. I can tell he's getting hot now. He's not quite as perky as he was at the beginning. PCB. Doesn't sound too good. Alright, we're crossing a driveway going behind the car. He just pulled out, so now we're back onto the sidewalk. Good boy, little buddy. Here. Yep, Jake's tail's not quite as high as it was at the beginning of the trip. He's still fine though. I actually had one dog that stopped here a couple years ago. Good boy, Fuller. It got so hot out, he just refused to work, and they... All right, we're across. Good boy. That was Birchwood Street. I say when a dog stops, it's, you know, that's... Don't try to force them. And he stopped that day. It was about 97 and humid out. So I didn't force him. I called my daughter and had her come pick us up. She lived in the neighborhood at the time. But he only did that once. We're going by a library now. In a small apartment. Set of apartments. Good boy. Crossing a street called Kennedy. And we're across. Good boy. There's usually people playing basketball out here, but I guess it's too hot today. There actually is a nice breeze, and sometimes the clouds cover up the sun a little and get a little bit of shade. And there's plenty of shade with the trees, usually. Walked about a mile and 3/4 already. Now we're crossing, good boy, another street called Crescent. And we're across. Good boy, little buddy. While you're at the Seeing Eye, there's three or four different routes that you spend several days apiece on. And then you do a, what they call a solo of the route. So usually the instructor stays with you. Crossing an alley. This building on the right here used to be a local, like a neighborhood movie theater. And then it was a restaurant. Now it's closed. And then there's a bakery right next door to it here called the Blue Dog. Excellent bakery too. Crossing a little alley. Good boy. There you go, little buddy. We're across. And here in the last year or so, they've finished up doing curb cuts on most of the crossings on this street, which is great for wheelchair access, but it also turned out to be really enjoyable for many of the residents around here that like to stroll their baby in the baby stroller. Shop up here on the right. A lot of tables out on the sidewalk. So Jake has to do a little bit of weaving in and out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Excuse me. Boy. Up, up. Thought he was going to take a sniff there on that table, but he didn't. Now we're coming up to a street named Stilts. We're not going across it. Good boy. We're going to take a right, and Jake just automatically took a right because this is the way we always go. Sometimes I do change routes just to make it a little interesting, a little more interesting for Jake. But he knows them all pretty well now. So we turn toward the south. We're walking south now on Stilts Avenue. And there's an intersection up here. Grinstead. We're going to cross Grinstead and then take a right and walk along Grinstead back to the west. So we'll be backtracking about a block or so, but you really need to cross Grinstead at the stop sign because it's a very busy street. Good boy. Jake paused there because there's a step down at this alley. He's a good dog. One of the things they do while you're in training as well is Morristown is fairly close to New York City. So they take you into town on the train and let you experience some of the... Good boy. We're crossing Grinstead. Experience some of the downtown pedestrian traffic and the public transportation. Good boy. We're across Grinstead and we took a right. Didn't have to tell Jake anything again. So we've got about another block, not even a long block, to get to my street. And again, he'll just take a left when we get to the corner, unless I tell him to go straight. And then at this point, he would look at me twice to make sure I knew what I was doing, because this is the way we always go. I can tell he is really hot, too. It really gets bad, especially the end of July and August. So we're approaching Pleasant View. And we're taking a left. Good boy, little buddy. This is a pretty good hill to go up here. Just something to torture you at the end of the hot walk. Then when we get to my walkway, he'll take a left without me even having to tell him again. So I hope I've given you a fairly general idea about sort of a sound-seeing tour of traveling with a guide dog. My name is Larry Skutkan, and this is Blind Cool Tech. Hope to see you on the next show.